Welcome to Flow State Business. Welcome to an interview episode today. I have Molly Benjamin, the founder of Ladies Finance Club. I love Molly's origin story. You'll hear it all on this podcast, and we cover a bunch of topics around finance. This is really something that I don't particularly talk too much about on this podcast. We talk a lot about money, energetics, wealth building, believing in abundance and prosperity, but I wanted to bring Molly on the podcast because she brings a really sovereign view around managing financials, the practicality of working with money and finances. So we covered a lot of ground today, actually. We talked about things like how to start a small account, which grows into an ability for you to do big things with money. We talked about how to work through debt. So if you're currently going through a relationship with money where you are working down debt or you want to eliminate it from your life and business altogether, an awesome segment on the inside. We also talk about money and relationships. So how to deal with partners who might have a different financial value system to you. That was so fascinating. We talked about money story. We talked about so many things to do with entrepreneurship and what to do with managing money and how that plays into your overall view as an investor and creating overall wealth from that perspective. So great chat today, all about money. It's a really good one to listen to no matter where you are at this time of year, wherever you're listening to this. I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you also follow Molly and all of her amazing pieces of advice on her Instagram account. I'll leave all the links below. And also one thing, I know we have a lot of people who don't reside in Australia. We reference something called superannuation a lot here, which is retirement savings. So if you hear that throughout the course of the episode, we are talking about putting money aside for retirement, and the view that Molly has on it is really powerful. So enjoy this one and I'll catch you in the next episode. Molly, thank you so much for being here with all of us today. You are all in for a really incredible conversation about all things finance, all things money, and really coming from a place that, as I was saying to Molly before we went live on air, I don't really talk about this side of the energetics around money like Molly does. So I am grateful to have you here with us today. Massive round of applause and a welcome to the Flow State Business Podcast.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Okay. So you run a brand called Ladies Finance Club. How did this start? Where was the beginning for you and this amazing brand and business and movement that you've begun?
I was living in the UK, working a corporate job, and I realized that I was really bad with money, even though I was working for a global bank. And I was like, oh my God. And then I kind of looked at the girls I was working with in the office, and they weren't great with their money either. I remember we got bonuses and one of the ladies goes, I'm going to go buy a handbag. And I was like, okay. And then my girlfriends didn't seem to be very good with money. So I was kind of like, who's good at this stuff? So I tried to do self-education. And as I said, it was all very male, pale, stale and blue. So I literally started running events in my living room with my girlfriends. I was like, right, instead of a book club, we're going to do a money club. Get over here. We're going to make this space and make the time and create a safe space to talk about money.
That is so cool.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's something we use every single day. Something we go off, we spend hours and hours of our lives working for this money, and then we spend no time learning how to actually manage it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was kind of happened. We'd get a friend that'd come in, teach us something about money, and then we would talk about it. And we had so much to talk about when it came to money. And I was like, wow, okay. Let's do this event. Let me make it public. Anyone can buy a ticket. Come along. We sold out. Most of the women worked in financial services. And I was like, oh, I think there's something in this. And that's kind of where it started. And then kind of fast forward 3.5, 4 years. We have, you know, a membership. We do corporate workshops with some of the biggest tech brands in the world. We've got one with Google next week. And we've got courses all about just creating a safe space where women can come together. We can talk about money. We just finished a roadshow around Australia where we had 1,200 women come to events all about learning how to invest and understand their super. So yeah, it's just trying to make it fun and accessible because it doesn't have to be boring, because learning about money and learning about investing, it's actually really empowering, and you don't have to make massive life changes to actually get on top of it all.
I just love how, you know, we talk a lot about flow on this podcast, but I'm sure that there were some moments in there that were wobbly and that were challenging, without a doubt. But, you know, for the most part, doors flew open for you as soon as you decided that you would just step up and do it. You know, it's that whole thing about when you feel into your purpose work and your mission, it just is incredible to witness that. And, you know, your brand has been seen on Mamma Mia, ABC, Financial Review, The Age, and now you're teaching some of the biggest global tech brands in the whole world and beyond. Like, your brand is just absolutely exploding. What did you do to overcome, because most of us are entrepreneurs listening to this, to overcome a lot of the self-talk that you're not the one to do this? Like, did you ever have those moments where you were like, I'm not supposed to talk about this? Like, you know,
all the time.
How did you get through that?
I literally just wrote a book on finance and I'm like, who am I to talk about finance to women? You get that all the time. But, you know, the thing I tell myself and the self-talk, and, you know, I definitely had business coaching around this, and it's all around, like, I don't have to be the expert because I'm bringing the experts together. Yeah. I'm the expert at bringing the experts together and breaking it down and helping communicate this stuff. So I don't actually need to be the expert because I'm never going to be the expert in property, investing, in wills, in all this. Like, no one could be the expert in that. But what I can do is bring the best people together. So yeah, there was a lot of stuff out. But then there was also an element where I'm like, well, just give it a go. And if it doesn't work, I'll get a job. So that was the other one.
I love that. I think that is absolutely the way that you can describe an element of the success mindset. Mm. Like, there's no such thing as falling over and feeling like a complete failure, because there's always going to be other opportunities and other options. Even if it meant like, okay, I got to go back, get the job again for a little while, rebuild.
Yeah.
It sounds like you were always just, oh, well, like, willing to take the risk and willing to go out there and do the thing. So I really admire that about you, Molly.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I just hated that morning commute so much. And I was like, anything to avoid doing this.
It's so amazing. So what, along the way, you've been doing this for 3.5 to 4 years now. What did you do to go from feeling relatively, you know, clueless about money, and when you got your girlfriends together and you started talking about it in your lounge room, to really stepping into that financial sovereignty, is what I like to call it, or just that, like, real groundedness around finances? Like, what was the pinch point that made you realize that something had to change and you were going to do that and then be an example of that to, you know, so many women around the world?
I think one of the stats that gives me the biggest goosebumps and was a real motivator and driver for me to be like, yes, this is what, you know, I want to dedicate the next years to doing, is that the highest growing demographic of homelessness in this country is single women over the age of 55.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so these are women who have, like, dedicated their life to raising children. They've had jobs. They've been doing it all. And now they're retiring into poverty. And I was like, that is so unfair. And we're not doing enough about it. But, like, I was like, well, what can I do about it? I can help make sure the next generation doesn't become that statistic. And, you know, even during this roadshow, I've been getting messages from women being like, that changed my life. Like, wow. knowing that information has changed my life. Like, I'd started building an emergency fund. I've found my supers. I found all this money in Lost Super. Like, the women are actually taking action, because I think we do break it down. We make it super easy to understand. And then also looking at some of my mum's friends who are now in that situation, mm-hmm. whereas they had jobs, they had good money, but, you know, there's been a divorce or there's been a separation, and now they're all of a sudden, you know, in this situation where the tables have turned. And it's just so sad, because they're such good mums. They're such good humans. And why should they have to, you know, now live this lifestyle that, you know, So it was an inequality, I guess, is that what was my driving motivator.
I love that. You've just got such a huge heart. It's more than just start a business and, you know, sell a membership. You can tell that straight away. The membership is there to serve women, of course, but your entire vision is so much bigger and larger than that. And I really feel the weight of, it's a movement. Like, you literally are starting a movement, doing a roadshow. Do you think you'll ever go international?
Yeah, we would love to. I mean, like, I started in London. So we do have, like, bits and pieces we do in the UK, but I've really been focusing on Australia lately. But yeah, I would love to go, because I got someone reaching out to me from Sweden the other day being like, do you have this in Sweden? Because we really need it. And I'm like, I would love to have this in Sweden. I'm sorry, we don't at the moment.
You know, like there are certain brands, like whether it's like in different industries, but you could almost set up little pods all around the world that represent your philosophy, but it's like Ladies Finance Club USA. I mean, how cool would that be?
Totally. Because the thing is, there's so many women who work in finance, and the women I work with who work in finance, most supportive, most awesome, most collaborative women, and they know, they see it on a daily basis, the inequality between, you know, women live longer, they earn less. They're not investing, they're less control over their lives because of money. So they want to help as well. So yeah, okay, maybe we just needed to do that.
Oh my goodness, I totally understand. I came from finance as well. When I was working in corporate, I was like a financial accountant in superannuation.
Oh wow.
And then I moved from that into like a compliance role dealing with a lot of like deceased estates and, you know, lots of lost super or lots of people coming out of the woodwork and money being found out of nowhere. But, you know, one of the things that sort of was like drummed in, and I was quite, you know, I was in my 20s and it was so drummed into me that women just won't make more superannuation or have more retirement savings than men. It was just like the one thing, right? That I guess it just depends who you spoke to. You had a party that was like, well, that's just it. That's the fact because you take maternity leave or women just don't work as long or they don't get as much career progression. And then you have the other side of the fence, which is like, well, do you know what? Like, that's not my reality. I'm going to choose to break that norm and that stronghold over what is just expected out of society for us to not be able to have enough in savings. And I just remember that was like a real turning point for me where I'm like, where is the conversation around financial empowerment rather than just dealing with it? And that's just how we're going to have to sit back and rely on something else outside of our personal power to get on top of our financials. And that's what I really see in your brand. Like you really teach us how to do that. So a question to you is, if someone's really listening to this and going, that's me, I've not taken any responsibility around my financial power and ownership, what are some of the first few things that we can do just to get up and get comfortable with our finances?
Yeah. So like practically speaking, the very first thing you can do, set up a separate bank account, call it, I call it an OMG fund. People like to call it an emergency fund. Yeah. Because if you need to use this fund, normally you're like, oh my God, shit has happened. Set it up, separate bank account from your other spending, call it your OMG emergency fund, FOF fund, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And try and put $1,000 in there and then work up to 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. If business owners are listening to this, they have mortgages, families, definitely that 6 month mark. And if they're kind of single, don't own property, you could do get away with a 3 month mark. But that is the very first thing. And that's what any kind of financial guru, all the books, they all say the same thing. It's just keep some money for a rainy day. This is like your safety net. This is for when shit happens, because life happens and shit does happen. And if you can have money sitting there, it will give you such security knowing that it's there. And if anything happens, that you've got some money there that can handle that situation. And that's the first mind shift you get after you do that as well. You go, ah, okay, money doesn't have to be as stressful. Cool. What's next? And then it's, yeah, about setting up your bank accounts, getting your goals. And you know, we set goals in all areas of our lives, but generally we rarely set financial goals. And it's kind of like, well, what, you know, what am I saving for? By when? You know, New Year's, everyone always says, I want to save money. And I'm like, great. What for? By when? How much? Like, let's
put some... It's like the intention behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so much easier to say no to the things you don't want to do because you've already chosen what you do want to do and what you want to put your money towards. And actually then treating your money like it's a bill. Okay, well, I need to put $300 away each month because that's my savings bill, because that's going towards my future property or that's going towards my investments or extra superannuation. But yeah, I think that OMG fund is definitely the first step I say to everyone.
What would be your advice or, you know, point of view around someone who's like, Molly, I would love to do that, but I am like this much in debt and I can't even get across my credit card payments, let alone trying to get $1,000 into an OMG account.
Yeah.
How do you, it's a mindset thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. But like, how do you, you know, talk through that?
Yeah. So I would say you start small. So you can do that with $5, $10, a dollar. just money that you're putting away that you're not touching, because it builds and it's changing the habit. And then on the debt side of things, there's definitely some mindset work that needs to be done behind the credit card. So where is this spending coming from? Is it because you're unhappy? Is it because you're bored? Is it because you like to do it in the evenings because it gives you a sense of relief? Looking at, okay, well, what's actually behind the behavior? Because all the time it's always, there's an underlying behavior. A lot of it as well, our money mindset, it's made up by the time we're 7 years old, heavily influenced with how our parents behaved with money, how the environment of money was behind us, around us when we were growing up. But then I think with the whole debt thing, if you are struggling with debt, there's that snowball method, which seems to work really well with the way our brains work, because you get the hits of dopamine. So it's just simply listing out all your debts, smallest to largest, making minimum payments and all, but really focusing on tackling that smallest debt first, whether that be a car park fine or money you owe a friend, and then kind of smashing through them and kind of rewarding yourself when you finish each one going, okay, cool, I'm on my way, I'm getting closer. So the snowball method seems to be a good one to get.
I actually have never heard of that method. That is so, I've heard of the idea of it, but I haven't heard the name, like what it's called. So there you go. And that makes so much sense. I smiled when you said get rid of the car park fine, because that is, could not be more relevant to, you know, way back when I had a really just toxic relationship with money. I had so many fines because me and my girlfriend would do this thing where we'd call it like the rock star park. Like it was so silly. We would literally just park in loading zones if we couldn't find a park. And I grew up in Melbourne and, you know, like there's Chapel Street and it's so hard to find a park. Then we would just be like, who cares? Let's just rock star park. And by the end of it, I kid you not, we used to have like in the glove box, we'd open the glove box and like parking fines would just spill out. It was so bad. I know, Molly.
It happens.
It happens. But like the car park fine as a symbol was actually the thing that had me dig my, just really just dig myself into a hole where I just didn't know how to get out of it. And then I paid the first fine and I was like, okay, then the next one, then the next one. So just hearing you talk about the snowball effect, I'm like, oh, that's it. It's so cool to hear it. And then just to kind of look at how it was applied. And you must have seen so many women actually cut through their own debt because of this method.
Yeah. And I think that's also the thing with when it comes to finances, personal finances, personal. So what works for one person might work slightly different for someone else. So other people like the avalanche method, where instead of going on the smallest to largest, you go on the highest interest rate. But they do find brain wise, when you get those small wins a lot quicker, it's going to keep you much more on track. When you've got a big debt you're trying to tackle, it is harder to stay motivated.
You mentioned, you know, the psychology behind money mindset and how we learn so much in the first 7 years of our life. Yeah. I'd love to know, what was yours? How did you grow up around money? And also, because you talk so freely about it now, how is it received within your own family unit?
Yeah, so I think growing up, like my parents were quite open about that. My dad was always trying to get us to invest and understand investing, but it was also this thing that was done behind closed doors. Like bills were paid behind closed doors. Dad always had a tantrum every time a light was turned on, which I never understood was because, you know, I was just like, oh, dad's going crazy about turning on the lights. It's like, it's a waste of power. But what that actually stemmed to was he didn't feel appreciated because he was going out to work every single day, running his own business, working so hard. Mm-hmm. And then he for us was just not appreciating that by leaving the light on. And I was like, had he just had that conversation with his dad, that would have been a whole new kind of
thing.
As opposed to just turn the light off. Oh, sorry. So I think, you know, my parents did try, but it is that thing of like, unless you really want to, learn it yourself. You know, it's not until you take those steps. But I know I've heard of very similar stories where, and this happened a few times in my house, definitely, where like, you know, mum goes out, does the shopping, comes home, says, hide it from your father, bring it out a couple of weeks later, be asked if it's new, it's not. So you're not lying. And I've heard so many women say this about, you know, their experiences as well. And then they do it with their partners now. And they don't see that that's just following like that role model. And again, it comes to like that whole kind of masculine, feminine, like the man is the worker. He comes in, it's his money, but you know, we shouldn't have to be hiding. Yeah. So yeah, there's lots of different money stories I hear. But a really interesting one I put in my book was when I was living in London, I was working with a couple of different women. One was from America. One was from Poland. So one grew up in communist Poland. One grew up in America during a recession. And so their money mindsets and the way they behaved with money was very different. Again, it just goes to show that money story of, you know, if there was lots of money when you grew up, you know, you're going to behave differently to money. If there wasn't much money, again, you're going to have a different money story. And I think especially as people get into relationships as well, it's so important to know what your partner's money story is, because if they're going out spending like there's no tomorrow and you're like, I don't want to spend any of my money because I didn't have much and now I have it, or the opposite, there can be some real clashing points there too.
Oh yeah. Like one of my longest relationships that I'd had, and it was pretty much all through my 20s. It was exactly that. Like he loved to spend just, and he didn't have very much growing up. So then when he got the money, it was always like in and out, in and out. And every time payday would come around, it would be like money in, money gone, just like that. And over the years, it just grinded down. And obviously that was one of the fracture points of the relationship, but you just don't know. Like, you know, how do you sit down and be like, so babe, can you tell me your money story? Do you ever come across those conversations with ladies inside of your membership who ask that question? Like, how do you broach that question like in a new relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They'll be like, can you give me some conversation starters to have a conversation with my partner? So we're like, yeah, absolutely, we will. But I think even like, especially when it's a new relationship, you know, you can learn a lot about someone's money story without being like, hey, babe, you in debt? What kind of, you know, don't want to catch an STI, sexually transmitted debt? Like, tell me what you got. But you can be like, oh, so are you saving for anything? What goals? You can also notice from like, you know, they'll be like, let's go to a restaurant. And if they pick like a really expensive restaurant, if they're like, let's get Uber every night, it might be, and not that these are bad things, they can afford it, great. But also there's some real telltale signs. We do have, I think we've got like a list of like 30 questions on our website that you can ask your partner about money. But there's some really important ones there too, that like when you are ready to take it to the next level, it's like, cool, well, what does our future look like? And what are our future goals together? And, you know, what happens if I do take time off to have kids? Am I going to have to ask you for money? Will I get an allowance? Like, how's that going to work? Is our money actually our money? How are we going to set up our bank accounts? Do we just have a house account where we both put in? Or like, if you're earning more, does that mean we split it equally, or will we split it by our ratios of how much we earn? Like, there's a lot of these conversations that don't happen and definitely need to happen in relationships, especially around kids and just knowing what each other can spend without the other caring, and having your own money. Always so important to have your own money, or so expensive to have your own OMG account in your name.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, my husband and I, we both run the business together. We have a shared bank account. We have, you know, all the things, but I still have my own account because there's something about that. You know, if I want to get my highlights done in my hair, I don't have to like draw it from the main account and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, babe. We just spent like whatever it is, $500 on the hair. And have to explain that, you know, there's something really, it feels so empowering to have that. And it's not about being secretive or anything like that. It's just what works in terms of, like your energy, but also how you can flow that really beautifully between a partnership, you know? So I've heard of a lot of stories inside of my client group where as we become more successful as business owners, we start to earn more than our partners sometimes. And that can cause another sort of fracture in a sense. And I really believe that when fractures happen, it's only there so that we can look at rearranging some beliefs. And it's like a new playbook. You've up-leveled, you've moved into a different stage of your relationship, wealth journey, money journey, all the things. So it's not always bad, but where it turns sour is when you don't speak about it head on. And I love that you've got that 30 questions on your website. We have to find that and definitely
like, link it. I'm like, I wouldn't recommend it for like the first date.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Do you invest? Hi.
When I first met my husband, he was living on the couch.
Yeah.
His brother's couch, and had no home because he had come out of a relationship. This is like 2 years prior, and he just got stuck on his brother's couch. He's like, whatever, I don't need to pay for it. And I was like, oh my God, is this guy like, is he in debt? Like, that was really my first thought. Like, why is he living on a couch? Just turned out that he's just like, oh, well, I was really comfortable here, saved a whole heap of money. So it's not always how you think it looks.
Yeah. But I went on a date last year with a guy, and he was talking about how he uses buy now, pay later. And I was like, red flag. I was like, why?
Are you like, do you know what I do?
I was like, not trying to be judgy. And I was like, that's cool. How come? Like, really curious to know why. And he's like, oh, just thought I'd give it a go. And I'm like, okay, but you've got cash sitting there. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, so you're choosing to go into debt. Oh, I just wanted to give it a go. And I was like, something's not adding up here.
I love that. I love that. Like to date Molly, it's like has to have, you know, a certain level of financial nous.
Like just like a little bit. Like I think it's really attractive having their financial kind of shit together. And I'm not saying they have to be wealthy at all, but they've got to have like, you know, like nothing sexy about credit card debt.
I really agree. When you meet someone who just has like no drama around money and have a really good head on them about like making financial decisions, there is something really hot about that. You know, it's like, love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh gosh, I could just keep talking to you, but I just wanted to get a final sort of piece of advice from you, especially from an entrepreneurial perspective. A lot of the women who listen in are coming into, which is really awesome, you know, new levels of money flow. And often we get to a certain point and you just feel intimidated by what to do with it, especially when it comes to putting money aside for tax time, like the biggest one, but also when to invest or where to put the money. Or often it's like, how do I even sort out, like the bank account thing is even a thing, right? Where it's like, do I have like many bank accounts or all of that? Where do we go to really find information and navigate through that? Do you have advice on how to move through that as well?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this is something I'm definitely still getting better at every day. It is a journey, like it is a relationship. You've got to work on it like every day, every week. But I think especially for business owners, like I love my accountant. My accountant is the best. And like I like to talk frequently to my accountant. I like to check my business bank account every single day. But I think, as you said, like the basic stuff is splitting out that tax, making sure you have that tax put aside, making sure you are putting into your superannuation or setting up a super if you don't have one. Because I think for a lot of entrepreneurs as well, we're wearing so many hats, we're doing so many things. We go, oh, I'll sort super out later, or my business is going to be my retirement. But we do sometimes that just doesn't happen. And COVID taught us anything. It's like random stuff you never thought would ever happen happens. And you need to make sure that your future is secure. So making sure you are putting money towards your retirement, it's not that hard. It's honestly like to set these things up, I think we can have real blocks like, oh, it's going to be really difficult. It's going to take up so much time. You set it up once, you set up some systems, it's done. You don't have to think about it again. I think with growing wealth as well, with investing, again, this is something that we think is like for the Wolf of Wall Street, for white men in rich suburbs in capital cities. Like it's just not. And there's so many apps out there. And I always say to people, like, dip your toe in the water. The best way to learn how to swim is actually to get wet. Like the best way to learn to invest is just dip your toe in the water. There's micro investing apps. So if you buy a coffee for $4.50, it rounds up your coffee to $5. It puts a 50 cents in investment for you. So there's some really nice basic places you can actually get started without feeling overwhelmed, just to get your confidence up until you feel like, okay, I'm getting used to this. And, you know, we do a bunch of stuff on investing and courses. And once you learn the basics, that information stays with you for life. I think the biggest myth I'm always trying to bust is if you can online shop, you can invest online. Very similar process, honestly.
I think we really need to like hear that, especially during this time of year that we're recording it.
Sometimes eBay is harder than placing an investment online, honestly. It's not hard.
Think about like all the Black Friday sales, all the future Boxing Day sales that you're going to be a part of, right?
Yeah, and think of all the research we do for Black Friday and Boxing Day sales. Like we are looking on, okay, who's got the best deal? What? If we put that much effort into our finances for just 5 minutes, would be set. Just flick the Netflix episode off for like just sorting out your super. It doesn't take long.
That I feel was like the note to end on. That is like the biggest belief bender. That is fantastic. It's so true. So Molly, can you give us a little summary of who the Ladies Finance Club membership is for? Because I'm sure that there'll be a bunch of us here going, oh, I'm really interested to learn from you. And how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have Pink and Diamond membership. So Pink is just for women who are like, I want to keep learning about money. So we do a monthly masterclass with a different expert in Australia, international expert each month. And then we have our Diamond membership, which is for women. Something we hear a lot is like, oh, I want to start a side hustle, but I don't know how. So it's for people who are really like at that stage where they're like, I want to start a side hustle, but then also for women who just like want more accountability around their finances. So mm-hmm. we have accountability group, and it's so cool because women are on the call and they set goals for like what they want to do with their money, and they'll be like, oh, I want to buy a property one day. And I'm like, cool, cool. What would your next step be? Oh, I don't know. Okay. Well, how about speak to a mortgage broker, see how much you actually need to put aside. And then you see them over the month actually get ready to buy a property. And then they bought a property, which is really cool. People are setting up their emergency funds and like, or in credit card debt. So everyone's on like their different journey, and it's a really supportive community. We do things like insurance reviews, and we have like some foundational courses in there for women, but it's just a really nice community. We do like some side hustle coaching sessions and money coaching sessions. Tonight we've got a session on how to like prep for your Christmas budget. So all the things you need to think about that we never do. Like if I said, how much did you spend on Christmas last year? Most people are like, no idea. So it's just kind of like working out, okay, how much do you really need to be putting aside? And then what can you do for next year? So can you start putting some of that aside at the start of the year, each month, each paycheck? So then when it comes to Christmas, it's so not a stress because you're like, oh, I've got $2,000 there for Christmas that I know. Wow. I need presents for travel, for holidays. Yeah. So we do a whole range of different things, but we focus mainly on investing in property and mindset a lot in the masterclasses.
I love that. I love that. So ladies, if that is just you and you've got all of this new focus and clarity for 2023, I will link all of the information in the show notes below. Thank you so much, Molly. We covered so much ground today.
I know. It's great.
I'm just following like where it would go, but I know that you just really are such a connector and a networker of amazing experts all around the world. So thank you so much again for just creating a space in a community like this where it's safe to talk about money as women, as you know, those of us who are really wanting to take more control over our money, but in a way that feels really great and feels really good, not scary and fearful and needing to feel like there's a whole heap of drama. We need to capitulate over money. We really don't. And there are platforms like yours that really help us just get more sovereign with it. So thank you so much. What an amazing episode this was, and big love from everybody in the community.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been lovely. It's been fab.
Thanks, Molly.